I want to introduce to you John Bruce. His bio says he was born in Baton Rouge, but raised in Cut and Shoot, Texas, a place I've never been, but it sounds interesting. He's been in the title business for 40 years. He started his career in the file room and worked his way into a position as a multi-property, multi-state specialist and commercial closer. So I'm going to turn it over to him right now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Thanks, everybody. Glad to be here today. I'm John Bruce. I work for a company here in town called Heritage Title Company. It's a predominantly commercial-driven title insurance company. I am also a past president of the Texas Land Title Association, so I have my finger into that pie quite a bit, trying to keep up with the ever-changing rates and rules that the Department of Insurance throws at us and applying those rules in a mostly a commercial format. Today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about escrow agreements, and this is a presentation that I've done a couple of times. As a matter of fact, I see some faces out there that may have seen my presentation in the past before. I'm going to try to maybe talk a little more towards the lending side and loan transactions and how these escrow agreements can be used, what we use for escrow agreements, how we get them drafted. In putting this presentation together, I thought the best way to talk about escrow agreements was really to kind of walk through the drafting of an escrow agreement. Because walking through the drafting of an escrow agreement really helps you understand kind of the components that are involved, the things that we think about as escrow agents when agreeing to accept any type of an escrow arrangement. And then also what the complications are with drafting those escrow agreements. So without further ado, let's proceed forward. So there are many, many uses for escrow agreements. In my world, we see escrow agreements used to manage earnest money, to manage documents, to manage any type of financial obligations or any type of performance obligations that two parties may have with each other. The use of escrow agreements is really much greater than what we're going to talk about today. What are escrow agreements? Well, it's really just an agreement to do something that's facilitated by someone called an escrow agent, for instance. Said a different way, escrow agreements aren't just those forms that are negotiated with a title company when money or documents are deposited. Escrow agreements really could be considered something as simple as a lender's closing instruction letter. A lender's closing instruction letter, in my opinion, is nothing more than an escrow agreement. It's the lender sending documents to me and me signing off on the closing instruction letter and agreeing to manage those documents the way that the lender or the lender's counsel so instructs. So escrow agreements take many, many different forms. Contracts, in a sense, are escrow agreements. Contracts typically have provisions in those contracts that tell the title company how to manage their earnest money. There's an earnest money deposit that's going to be put up. You're going to hold that earnest money deposit and you're going to apply it to the purchase price when you close a transaction. Or perhaps if the transaction, if a buyer or seller defaults, it tells us how to manage the money through the process of terminating the contract or a default by one or the other party. So in addition to the closing instruction letters and the separate form escrow agreements, the one thing that I will talk to you a little bit about here real quick is we're in Texas, and we know Texas, and we know how we manage commercial transactions in the state of Texas. Well, right now, Texas is growing, and we're growing because thousands and thousands of people are moving into Texas, mostly from other states. So we are starting to see a big influence and have seen a big influence from out-of-state lenders, out-of-state attorneys, out-of-state buyers, out-of-state sellers over the past few years. It's becoming more and more prominent. We see quite often that lenders are represented by attorneys out of New York or out of Boston, perhaps out of Chicago. And when we deal with, at the title company level, attorneys that reside out of state, we also always have to manage expectations because they have different expectations and different ways of doing things out of state that maybe is not necessarily the practice here in Texas.